Boy, do we need to hold their feet to the fire. Number one, it was started originally with the Trade Act of 1974. You go back and research it, this is the first instance of the TPA in the government, within the administration. Now you remember, at the time, the president was Gerald Ford, who had taken over after Nixon resigned, right? Ford did not take an elected person as his vice president. He appointed Nelson Rockefeller. Do you remember that? Anybody remember that? He appointed Nelson Rockefeller to be the vice president of the United States. He was not elected. He wanted to be elected. He never could be elected, but he finally got his position to be in the executive branch, and he was brought into the administration as vice president. And those of you the constitutionalists know, what also is the vice president of the country? He's the president of what? That's in it, right? So is it any surprise that the TPA gained traction in 1974 under the leadership of Nelson Rockefeller? Rockefeller, by the way, was not a member of the Trilateral Commission, but his brother was the founder. Okay, next, we have to look at what has TPA been used for over the years. There have been hundreds and hundreds of treaties and agreements negotiated and passed in the Senate, by the way, since early 1970s. But has TPA been used for every agreement that's come along? The answer is no. The TPA has been used very selectively for Trilateral Commission goals that they have published freely in their own papers. And they have used it to fast-track their new international economic order. I'll give you an example. There's been only about 8 times so far that TPA has been invoked since 1974. One is the GATT-Tokyo round. That's a general agreement on tariffs and trade. Secondly was the U.S.-Israel free trade agreement. Thirdly was the Canada-U.S. free trade agreement. Then came NAFTA in 1993. Then came the GATT-Uruguay round, which created the World Trade Organization in the mid-90s. And then finally, just recently, came CAFTA. This is the extent of the trade promotion authority in this country, the use of it. You see a pattern, don't you? These have been the things that are destroying us today. NAFTA, the World Trade Organization. CAFTA now, which hasn't been implemented, but it's been passed. And it's coming at us like an express train as well. These are the evidences of what the Trilateral Commission has done since the early 1970s to us. They have used their hegemony to create policies that bring these things about. You and I did not vote in these things. You and I did not approve of these things. Yet, here we are. They did it, and we're sitting here looking back at it, wondering what on earth happened to us. Now, I'm going to say a word about, just quickly, about the CFR, because this comes up all the time. Somebody asked me the question, well, isn't the CFR in charge of America? Don't they tell everybody what to do here? The answer is no. There's over 3,000 members of the CFR covering all of North America now. And if that were the case, and the Trilateral Commission only had 3% of, they have 300 members, that would be about 10% of the membership of the CFR in general, you'd expect that the board of directors would reflect that. Because it's an elected board, they say, you'd expect that it would reflect it. But however, we find that 44% of the board of the CFR are members of the Trilateral Commission. Okay, that tells you who's in charge of the Trilateral Commission at this point, or of CFR. You read some of these names, it'll surprise you. Carla Hills, how about Madeleine Albright? That's a surprise, right? And then you see some academics over here, Richard Holbrooke, we talked about him before. And then you have, the CFR has an international advisory board. You see another 8 members of the Trilateral Commission on the international advisory board as well. That's all I want to say about the CFR. Now let's talk about Carla Hills. Carla Hills, a member of the Trilateral Commission, was a USTR under George H.W. Bush. She was the principal and is the indisputable principal of the architect of NAFTA. And she was a signer of NAFTA, the initialer anyway, with Bush. And she was a member of the Trilateral Commission. Now let's just look at a picture here. We'll have a little picture time. Here's Carla Hills in the red, seated at the table, signing or initialing, with George H.W. Bush standing right behind, initialing the NAFTA treaty. It wasn't passed by into law until Bill Clinton took the handoff, and he got it passed and run through the Senate. And here we have Bill Clinton signing it a little bit later, during his early administration. He's signing the bill, legislation actually, and you see the President of Canada standing behind him. And well, here's the picture of Clinton and Ernesto Zedillo, shaking hands and having a great old time. This is an interesting picture because, looking backwards now, Zedillo was not a member of the Trilateral Commission at the time, but shortly thereafter he was, and so they're both members of the Trilateral Commission in good stead, and here they are hugging each other. Basically, Clinton's giving away our country, and who knows what Zedillo's thinking, but you know, he's saying thank you, and so here you have the elements of, you know, what I would call, in legal terms almost, you call collusion. These people are agreeing and meeting and doing things, you know, basically without the permission, without the oversight of Congress, without funding from Congress, etc., and what a shame. Oh, here's an, I thought I'd throw this in. The Trilateral Commission at 25, this was, I think, 1998, and they had a big old reunion in Washington, or no, it was New York, and here's a few of them. You recognize any of these people? You probably, you might recognize that guy on the far right over there in that little corner right there. Anybody know who that is? That's David Rockefeller, right? How about this guy? That's old Zabigi himself. Anybody know who this is? Come on. Paul Volcker. Paul Volcker was chairman of the Federal Reserve for many, many years before Greenspan, member of the Trilateral Commission. And so the rest of them here, you have Peter Sutherland here from Europe, and you have Sadako Ogata from Japan, and there are a few women involved in the Trilateral Commission, as I mentioned, like Lynn Cheney as well. And so it was just a big old happy time, and they were giving each other awards and stuff and slapping each other on the back for a job well done, I'm sure. Now, do you know this man? Robert A. Pastor. If you don't know him, he's the most dangerous man in America today. He is the man who is being called the father of the North American Union. And he truly is, because he is the major academic pushing it, in the same sense that Brzezinski pushed the new international economic order in the early 70s. Pastor is pushing the North American community currently. He was a protege, interestingly enough, you might surmise this, he was a protege of Zbigniew Brzezinski in the 1970s. Whoa, how'd this happen? Amazing. Now, some of you remember this. If you don't, here's the history lesson for your young people. Robert Pastor was executive director of the infamous Linowitz Commission in 1976. That was chaired by Saul Linowitz, a director of Chemical Bank at the time. And this commission had 7 of the 8 members of this commission were members of the Trilateral Commission. 7 out of 8. And Robert Pastor was chosen, a young man at the time, was chosen to be executive director. The Linowitz Commission developed a policy to cede the Panama Canal to Panama, communist Marxist dictator. They ceded it. When I say that, I mean they gave it away. Sovereign U.S. property, they gave it away. And it was a huge loss to national security. Both ends of the Panama Canal now and everything in the middle are run by communist Chinese companies. We've lost control of Panama Canal. Robert A. Pastor was the driving force. He actually wrote the policy that the rest of them dictated to him. But it was his hands on the typewriter. This is the man who was now chosen, or not chosen, but who has now been put forward as the father of the North American Union. Where do you think the policy for the NEU came from? Disneyland? No. It came from the inner workings of the Trilateral Commission. They put their own people in positions of power to accomplish this. Pastor recently said, one of the books he wrote, Europeans facing the crisis of 2 world wars turned to the European community as a means to prevent war and advance their economic interests. Well, that's nice. What's interesting here is that he fails to mention that the European Constitution in 2002 was actually authored by Valéry Giscard d'Estaing, who is also a member of the Trilateral Commission. Small world, isn't it? The European community, by and large, got its traction because of the early work of members of the Trilateral Commission, the same way that they got into our country as well. They were the driving force to bring the EU into existence, to bring the monetary union into existence, and so on. Now, Pastor recently said, and this was in a, not in a newspaper here, but it was in a Spanish newspaper down south of us, he said that a crisis is an event which can force democratic governments to make difficult decisions like those that will be required to create a North American community. It's not that I want another 9/11 crisis, but having a crisis would force decisions that otherwise might not get made. Oh, thank you. We needed to know that, didn't we? So the bottom line is there a crisis on the horizon? Is there a crisis on the horizon? A currency collapse? Well, that's going on right now. How about a stock market collapse? Yeah, that's going on. How about a housing collapse? How about a credit market collapse? That's happening too. How about U.S. insolvency? We're close to that. How about a U.S. terrorist attack? That could happen at any time. It's still, you know, it's the question of when, not if anymore. Major crises on the way. How about global warming? Well, so you're not, maybe you're not fooled, but you know, Al Gore, bless his heart, member of the Trilateral Commission as well, we're all going to die, right? If we don't do something, we're all going to die, so you better trust us to give you a solution. Well, when a crisis hits, here's the bottom line. When it hits the fan and you know it's going to, some of these crises, by the way, are exacerbated by these people. Don't watch the crisis. Watch the enemy. Because sleight of hand is going to hit when the crisis hits. They will be doing their dirtiest work to bring us into the North American community. Watch the enemy, not the crisis. Now let's just skip a beat a little minute. My time's running out and I want to cover a few more things. Talk about current events here. John McCain recently got an interesting endorsement. It was just a little article somewhere in the newspaper. I spotted it and it meant something to me, but nobody else. John McCain got an endorsement from four people at the same time on a letterhead, from Henry Kissinger, George Shultz, Alexander Haig, and Lawrence Eagleburger. Anybody know what the commonality there is? Well, they're all secretaries of state, right? That's cool. Wow, you think, man, if all the secretaries of state would endorse McCain, that's a really good deal. Well, here's the interesting thing. They're all members, former members of the Secretary of State. They're all members of the Trilateral Commission as well. Every one of them. Every last one of them. They're standing behind, and this group in particular, is standing behind John McCain. Now, for those of you, you know, you may not think anything about Eagleburger or George Shultz, but I don't know if I'd want to do anything and have Henry Kissinger's endorsement. I think that would be a liability more than an asset, but nevertheless, there he is. Now, how about Obama? It's on the Democratic side. Here's what Zbigniew Brzezinski recently wrote. I haven't heard him endorse anybody for 25 years, but he wrote just recently, I think there's a need for a fundamental rethinking of how we conduct world affairs, and Obama seems to me to have both the guts and the intelligence to address that issue and to change the nature of Americans' relationship to the world. Are you a little nervous about that now? That Obama would pick up an endorsement from Brzezinski that would say something like this? Somebody has further suggested, by the way, that Brzezinski is tutoring Obama right now in foreign policy. Oh, we don't need friends like that, folks. So how about the election 2008? I'm no prophet, and I'm not you know, really a political analyst, but I'll tell you what's interesting. You've got Hillary, probably, who, remember, Bill Clinton is a member of the commission. You've got Hillary and probably Obama. It's a good choice maybe to come on a ticket with her. Who knows who would be first, but they'll be on the ticket together, likely, at this point. And then on the Republican side, you've got Thompson and McCain. Well, Thompson seems to be in front of everything right now. McCain seems to have lost his whole organization, but he does have all the secretaries of state behind him. Interesting. Well, you know what? Thompson is a member of the Trilateral Commission as well. Oh, boy. Forget him, okay? So are we going to have a choice in 2008? No, we're not. Right now, there's going to be no choice in 2008. That's why we need to attach ourselves. If we want the issues to be raised, we need to attach ourselves to the Ron Pauls of the world and to the other people, the other alternate candidates who are running, the Tom Tancredis and so on. to get behind them so the issues get raised to the American people so they can understand what's going on. There will be, otherwise there will be no choice at all. Interesting. Well, you know what? If you haven't figured this out yet, we're in a heap of doo-doo. You know what I mean? We're in deep trouble. Because America never counted on enemies like this from within. I don't remember growing up that nobody told me that there were enemies of the state and that probably our defeat would come from within. I always thought defeat would come from without. Yet these people, supposedly good, loyal Americans, if you listen to them, these people are actively taking us down as a nation. When the president stands up to take his oath of office to defend the Constitution of the United States and other things that, that he's supposed to do, I don't know what he's thinking when he says it. But when you look at his actions, he has done, this current president has done more to further the globalist agenda than all of the presidents before, including Jimmy Carter. He has brought us closer to the brink of destruction as a country by refusing to close the border with Mexico, by refusing to shut down the very unfair free trade that we have today that's engulfing us, to shut down the Chinese garbage that's coming into our country and completely making a shambles out of our own regulatory agencies that have been set up over decades to make sure we don't die from what we're putting in our mouth. Okay? So we're in deep trouble, bottom line. I can't stress it enough, but you know what? There could be help on the horizon. I don't know. It's bleak. I said to one guy originally, I said, remember the Alamo. We may go down like the Alamo. You know, those of us who are going to be inside, go rent the movie if you haven't seen it recently. We may end up like that in the end, but you know what? I figure if I'm going to go in the end, and you're all going to get there one day too, I'm not going to go rolled over to this global elite. I will not. But here's the deal. Some of you old-timers are going to remember this song. Give me some men who are stout-hearted men who will fight for the right they adore. Start me with 10 who are stout-hearted men, and I'll soon give you 10,000 more. This is what we need in America. You young people, especially you young guys, you're going to be some of these stout-hearted men. If there was ever a need in history for stout-hearted men, it is today. If there was ever a time for stout-hearted men to stand up, it is today. And God bless the women in this group in Eagle Forum that have stood to the fore to bring some of this message out. But let me tell you something. The women of our country will not win this fight, guys. Stout-hearted men are needed too. The women may stand behind us, but it's the men who need to stand up and be willing to fight for our country. There was a guy that ran in Texas recently in the last election. He was a Texas Democrat, liberal, progressive Democrat. I love Texas Democrats, by the way. They're stout-hearted men. This guy ran on a platform of being anti-big oil, and he put a sign right across from Exxon's headquarters in Richardson or wherever it is in Texas, and basically said, "We're coming for you." That was his saying. But the tagline on his bulletin board says, and you got to love the spirit, "We will fight you till hell freezes over, and then we'll fight you on ice." I like that, because that's the kind of determination that we had better adopt and let them know it. You see, don't just keep it to ourselves. We need to let them know it too. You cannot, you will not be allowed to get away with what you're doing. Now, they may succeed in their plans, but they will not get away with it without somebody pointing a finger in their nose and saying, "Sir, you are wrong. And you know you're wrong." We have the high moral ground here, folks. They don't. They're crooks. They're charlatans. They're evil to the core. We have the high moral ground, and we must not give an inch. We must reverse the tide by knowing our enemy, by knowing ourselves, and then having the courage to stand up and make a difference. This is the message that needs to come out in this election, this cycle. Wow. May God help America. May God help America. If God doesn't help us, we're done. But even still, even if he does, it still may be a struggle, and it may be time for America to be off the face of the map. Who knows? But there are people, if they have their way, will merge the United States, Mexico, and Canada into a North American Union that will look much like the European Union does today. They will do this by the year 2010. That's their date that they're shooting for. 2010. That's 3 years away. Will it be Obama? Will it be Hillary? Will it be Thompson? Will it be McCain? Doesn't matter, does it? Their agenda and their timetable is 2010. We have 3 years left, perhaps, to do something about it before our Constitution is irrevocably lost. That's serious stuff. And I don't mean to depress you, but you have to face the truth if you're going to make a difference in turning the tide in our country. Thank you for your time. God bless you.